one funny clip that I would like to share with them, really, like, I think that's related to our topic today. Perhaps we have that clip up. I think it's all funny, but I think it's really, I'd like to start with a funny clip. You know, one thing I really love about my job is great teamwork. And we have great teamwork because we have to, because we process over 1,000 subscriptions a day, and we need to be really efficient. So we all have to follow a leadership, our manager, and then she gets this prior instruction email about her, so we don't follow the terms of command. And so we just follow the leadership, we work together, we do our part. And that's why we can be very productive and efficient, and we can very high score in our patient satisfaction. So this little clip so that I can show you is a real funny clip to show you how important it is that we work together, and because we are together unified, it gets strength and its power to fight against the enemy. But if we are divided, we don't follow leadership, we don't submit to authority, then we can get hurt. The won't get hurt is us, not our enemies. So. It's in your email.
Thank you. Okay, you know something? Unity is really on God's heart. And the last prayer of Jesus in John 17, God prayed for us. And you know what he prayed for? He prayed that we may be one as he and the Father are one. And he repeated three times in John 17. So a person on his before he is about to die, and he would pray three times about this. That means it's really important that we have unity among the body of Christ. Because without unity, we won't be able to fulfill the destiny that God has for us, to fulfill the Great Commission. And and Jesus prayed for protection for us from the evil one that will take away this unity in us. So today, I'd like to share with you about there are four spirits, divisive spirits in the church. And the first one is the spirit of Lucifer. Actually, all the other spirits, the spirits of Korah, Absalom, Jezebel, all derived from the spirit Lucifer. Anybody know who Lucifer is? Right. He is the name for Satan. Lucifer was the archangel, and God created him to be a very beautiful, gifted, talented angel. And he was the worship leader in heaven. But one day, he just got proud, and he said, and Isaiah, Isaiah 13:14. And he said, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the outest heights of Mount Zephon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So Lucifer, his spirit, he has a religious ambition to be worshipped like God. And, you know, he's the created one. He's not to be worshipped. God is the only one to be worshipped. But Lucifer wants God's position. He wants people to worship him. So he caused a discontent among the angels and led a rebellion against God. So a third of the angels joined Lucifer, rebelled against God, and they became fallen angels. So God kicked them out from heaven, from third heaven. So where are they at right now? Those fallen angels are called demons. And Satan and demons dwell in the second heaven. There are three heavens. The first heaven is the physical world, the atmosphere, the universe. But above our physical world, there is a second heaven where the demons and the angels dwell. And also the third heaven is where God dwells, and there's no sin there. Only God and the good angels. So Satan and demons join the second heaven, and they also join the first heaven. They are prowling around like roaring lions, looking for whoever they can devour. And they have their activities on earth through human flesh. So the spirit of Lucifer is the religious ambition to be worshipped like God. And so how can that be manifested in the church? It's those who cause discontent against the leader of your current church so they can take your place, take his place. All right, and the next spirit is the spirit of Korah. Does anybody know who Korah is? Right. Korah is son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. So he is a Levi. And he got 250 other community leaders to join with him to rise against Moses, God's chosen leader. And they were grumbling and complaining about Moses' leadership. Say, Moses, you led us to this wilderness, and we are still wandering around. And you say you're going to lead us to a promised land where there's a land flow with milk and honey? Where is it? I don't see it. And we are in this rotten place under Hassan And all we have to eat is this bread, same bread day after day, and this meat day after day, and there's hardly any water around. And so they're really complaining, grumbling about Moses' leadership. You say you're going to lead us promised land. Well, where is it? I don't see it. So, and who do you think you are? That you are to lord over us. So why then do you, he said in the Bible, he said, why then do you set yourself above the Lord's assembly? So they are really grumbling, complaining about his leadership over them because they're not happy with them. They're discontent with him and they're grumbling, complaining about him. So other people who joined with him were Dathan, Abiram, and Eliab. So Moses summoned these people to come for a meeting, and they just said, no, we will not come. Isn't it enough that you have brought us up out of a land of flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, and now you also want to lord over us? Moreover, you haven't brought us into the land of flowing with milk and honey or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Do you want to treat these men like slaves? No, we will not come. So the Bible says they become very insolent. So I didn't quite understand what insolent means. I had to look up in the dictionary. So it means they are very rude and lack of respect. So they're very rude to their leader, God's chosen leader over them, and they have no respect for their leader. And do you know what happened to them as a result of their rebellion? Right. So Moses didn't say anything to them. He just fell flat on the ground and just appealed to God. Said, God, you have to vindicate me. So God said, okay, Korah, and all those who are on your side, stay on one side. Whoever's for Korah, stand their side, and those who are against, oppose them, stand their side. And the Lord judged them. The grounds opened up below them, and then they all would swallow up like a big sinkhole, right? The sinkhole opens up and falls in, and they died. So that's what happened to Korah. Okay, let's see the next. So the moral of the story here is that be content, serve wholeheartedly, humbly, and faithfully where God currently placed you. Do not covet those positions over you, and not to challenge the authority of those God has placed over you. And the next spirit we're going to look at it is the spirit Absalom. Anybody know who Absalom is? Right. That's good. Now, somebody know who Absalom is besides Ricky. Okay, so Absalom is the third son of King David. And his mother is Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. So his mother is a princess, and so his grandpa is Geshur, King Geshur. So he's come from two royal lines. One is David, and the other one is Geshur. Well, Absalom is a very handsome guy. You know, he has beautiful long hair, beautiful appearance, very charming. And well, he has a sister called Tamar. Well, Tamar is, of course, very beautiful, but his older brother by a different mother, Amnon, sort of had lust over Tamar, and he pleaded King David to give Tamar to him as a wife, but David didn't agree with that. So one day he pretended he was sick, and he said, oh, Daddy David, would you please send Tamar to come and take care of me, cook for me, and all that. To take care of me. So Tamar went, so he raped her. So Tamar, you know, when a girl is raped, it's like a used rag, nobody wants you, and like your life's ruined. So Tamar was really, really hurt and heartbroken, and she ran out and being really mourned for over what has done for her for the rest of her life. So Absalom, her brother, was really upset, really mad at, about what Amnon has done to Tamar. So You know what he did? He had Amnon come to him, and then he killed him. And so when David found out about that, he was really mad. So Absalom flee to his grandpa's house, King Geshur, king of Geshur. And he stayed there for 3 years. And David, during this time, was really missed Absalom because he really loved his son Absalom. He really, you know, longed for him and grieved for him. And finally, one of his, Joab, his coming, I said, why don't you bring him back? You know, let him come back. So Absalom came back to Jerusalem, but he didn't see David for 3 years. So during this time, being estranged from David, he won the throne of David. He won the throne of the king, right? So do you know how he attempted to get that throne? What he did is, I'll just read this portion of the scripture to you. So he said, in the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. Whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, what town are you from? He would answer, your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel. Then Absalom would say to him, look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king to hear you. And Absalom would add, if I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case could come to me, and I would see that they receive justice. And so also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, took hold of him, and kissed him. Absalom behaved in this way toward all the Israelites who came to the king asking for a justice. So he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. So he used his charm and said, I can take care of you better than the king. The king won't be able to take care of you. I will. So he stole the hearts of people who wanted to come to the king, but instead he intercepted and had people come to him, tried to gain their favor and stole their heart. So whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would send a secret messenger throughout the tribe of Israel, say, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then say, Absalom is king of Hebron. So he started this conspiracy, and his conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom had a great following. So a visitor went to King David and said, hey, Absalom is having a great following. He's declaring him to be the king of Hebron. And you know what King David did? He didn't fight back. He just left town. He left town. He didn't want to fight against his son. And you know what? At the end, what happened to Absalom? Do you think he has good results? What do you think? People think he ended up well. Raise your hand. People think he ended up really bad. Raise your hand. Okay, so one day, King David went to war with Israel, and Absalom was among the Israelites. And so he was on this horse, right? And he has this beautiful long hair, and the hair got caught in the branch. So he was hanging on the tree where his hair was caught by the branch. And David's soldiers, or what? What do you call them? Joab is the commander of his army, saw him. And so he just killed him, right? Just kill him many steps. And then they throw his body into this pit and cover him up. And, of course, David would grieve over that, too. So he didn't have any good result. And then, so the spirit of Absalom is to grumble about the way things are not getting done and find fault with the leader, and arrogantly project the image that if you were in charge, all would be well. And then to capture the hearts of the people and flatter them and bring them into your camp. So we have to beware when someone comes along complaining about the way things are being done, speaking evil of the church leader, and promoting himself as the answer to these problems. then you are probably listening to a wolf in the flock of God. Okay, and the next spirit we want to talk about is the spirit of Jezebel. Now, who knows Jezebel? And would you like, if you have a baby girl, would you like to name your daughter Jezebel? Remember that. That's a name. You'll never, never name your baby girl Jezebel. Because she has a very bad name. She was a very, very evil queen. Jezebel is the daughter of Ithbaal, king of Sidonian. Sidon is in the north of Israel, so she's a princess too. Well, she married to a very wimpy husband, and her husband's name is, anybody know? I want somebody else to answer that question. Okay, good. Pastor knows his Bible. All right. So Jezebel had a very wimpy husband called Ahab. And Jezebel has a very controlling spirit. And she doesn't like the authority of the spiritual leaders who are the prophets of that day, and also the authority of the secular leader, her husband, the king. So her mission is to kill all the prophets. All the prophets in the land. So many prophets were killed, and some of the prophets had to go into hiding. And there was a very famous prophet called Elijah, and he has to run for his life. So and if you know the story of Elijah, he fled and he went to a wilderness. He lived in this house of the widow. You know, he was fed by the raven and all that. And I know Rahel didn't know that story because you have to teach that story. And so, but once the time is ripe, God brought Elijah back to Israel. And he had a confrontation with Jezebel's false prophets, the prophets of Baal. See, Jezebel, she's a Baal worshiper. So she make her husband and all the people in the land to worship Baal, an idol, a false god. And so with this Baal worship, there's a lot of sexual immorality. So people are in sexual immorality, Baal worships. Elijah had a confrontation with Elijah. Said, send your 400 prophets to Mount Carmel, and we'll show whose God is real. And in that confrontation, Elijah proven that our God is the real God, and the false prophets are the false gods. And you can read that story in 1 Kings 16 to 21. So the spirit of Jezebel is to neutralize the authority and take control over other people in the church and family. So when the Jezebel spirit attacks the church leadership, its ultimate purpose will be to disarm the spiritual authority of the pastoral leadership. And the Jezebel spirit seeks to divide, diminish, and then displace the spiritual authority of God has given to the church leaders. And so they stand apart from the church leader and promote a different vision than what the leadership presents. And it's a sign that the spirit of Jezebel may be trying to divide the church. So today I introduce you to these four spirits in the church that can divide the church, the spirit of Lucifer, the spirit of Korah, Absalom, and Jezebel. And we see a common trait in all of them is that they desire the position that wasn't meant for them at that moment, at that time. And it is a power struggle. I think you look at a lot of church splits on earth, the primary reasons always had to do with power struggle, and that people are not willing to submit to the leadership that guys place over them, and they refuse to submit to the authority and leadership and lack humility. It's always the pride to covet a position that God has not placed them in. So we need to be aware of these type of spirits in us, so in our church, and to really guard against that. So what is our response? How should we live our life to guard against this type of spirits? Well, first of all, is that it's really important whatever position God placed you in the church, you are to serve with a humility, with faithfulness, with your total wholeheartedness until the Lord, knowing that it's the Lord who placed you there, and you want to do your best for the Lord, to honor him and to be of the church. And you know something? Let God promote you. God will promote you in due time. You know, if you are faithful, humble, obedient in little things, God will promote you to bigger tasks. Unless you can do that, God cannot promote you. And you know, God really hates dissenters. God hates the person that divides the church, because that's not from him, it's from the evil one. The root is from the evil one. So we don't want to be on the opposing side of God. We want to be on the side of God. So it's really important that we stay humble, submit to God's authority by submitting to the leaders that he has placed over us, and to be faithful with whatever he has given you. Because remember, God is the head of the church, and the pastor is only the under-shepherd. And the pastor is responsible to God for whatever whatever leadership. He's responsible to God with the decisions he makes, the way he leads the church. But you say, what happened if, you know, you find out, well, you know, your pastor or the people above you does have a legitimate problem, a sin in their life. So we had to apply Matthew 18. You have something against another brother, the first thing you need to do, you need to talk to that person first. And because it might be a misunderstanding, so you need to communicate and work it out to find out what is the true picture. Maybe you misunderstood. Misinformation. So you don't want to jump to conclusion and have presumptions. And if the person you talk to refused to talk to you or refused to repent or whatever or admit, then you bring another person with you and talk to that person. And if that doesn't work, then you bring the third person or bring our church is under lean-on churches. If you find there's something wrong with Joseph, that what he's leading is sinful, out of will of God, we are accountable to our lean-on denomination, and we have people above Joseph that can come and take care of the problem, or like try to investigate and see what's going on, and resolve church conflict. But we will never want to grumble, complaining, you know, to get people together to bend against the leadership of the church. That's not the proper way to do it. But we have to do it in a biblical way. So if you have any questions, we can talk about it in the Joshua House next hour, and we can talk more into details about this. Okay, let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we just really thank you, Lord, that it's on your heart that we have unity in the body of Christ, because it glorifies you and it honors you. Jesus, you said that a house divided, a house cannot stand. A kingdom divided cannot stand. A church divided, the church cannot stand. So, Lord, I just really pray for your protection over our church, that your precious blood cover our church. May you protect us from the spirit of Lucifer, and Korah, and Absalom, and Jezebel. And if we find any spirits in us like this, may you bring us to repentance. We pray that your spirit come and fill this place with your spirit, that it will be a church led by your spirit. That all of us, including the pastor, each one of us will be submitted to your authority and your leadership. And we'll be submitted to the leadership of the church, and we'll also be submitted to one another. May your love come and bind us together in perfect unity. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We appreciate Marlene sharing.